When it comes to exams, who decides what needs to be tested and how does that happen? Stephen Diston is the head of the science subject team at OCR, a UK exam board, and he's here to talk us through the process. So Stephen, you know, who decides what goes on that exam paper that gets slapped on the kid's desk at the end of term?
Well, the exam paper will be written by a group of people who clearly they've got expertise in that subject area. They'll also have experience of teaching students in that age range. But they're constrained as to the areas they can test on the examination by the content that's laid out in the specification. And that document is set to a certain degree by the government, who will indicate the content that they expect to see in each of the individual subjects. And for some subjects, the entire content is laid out by the government. In others, you might get 50, 60% of the content is mandated. And then the exam board and the examiners have the freedom to select which additional content they'd like to put in there themselves.
So what does make a good assessment for kids? You know, a lot is made of exams, but there's things like coursework, practical exams as well. What's the best way of figuring out how to test a child's knowledge and ability?
Well, with the examinations, you're always weighing up some competing requirements. One of the big worries with the high-stakes exams, such as GCSEs and A-levels, is that there is always the possibility that people might be looking to cheat or to game the system in some way. So a high degree of security around the examination is part of what we're looking for. And that straight away tends to put some limitations on. An examination, it's far easier to control the security of that examination than something like coursework, where it has to be carried out under much less secure conditions. And of course, it may well be that the school needs to arrange equipment and resources weeks, even months in advance of the exam taking place. That being said, there's limits to what you can actually assess through an examination. And so if you look at practical science skills, the only way to really know if a student can put together the equipment and carry out a titration is for someone, generally the teacher, to actually watch them carry out the experiment and then assess how well they've done that. So there's always been a balance to be achieved between how much of the examination or how much of the weighting of the assessment is given to practical activities and how much is determined by exams. But from a security point of view, as I said, if you can examine it, you should examine it, is the current approach that's taken.
Well, that's from a security perspective, but I may be showing my age a little bit here, but I was one of the earlier years to do GCSEs, and a whole part of the GCSEs was it's this coursework element, and different exams have different proportions of coursework, and I understand now things like A-levels and AS-levels here in the UK have more elements of coursework. Is coursework a good idea in terms of assessing pupils, and is that kind of changing, swinging back towards, no, exams are best?
Coursework is a very different way of assessing pupils because, if nothing else, you can allow a much longer period of time for students to actually carry out the coursework. That lets you tackle much more substantial pieces of work than you can do in an examination where it needs to be completed within a few hours and is unseen material. So it widens the scope for the skills that you can actually assess in coursework.
And kind of in my view, it's almost a more life beneficial skill. You know, when I do my job as a writer or broadcaster, I'm not turning up and sitting a two-hour exam every week. I'm getting sources, I'm pulling documents together, I'm writing things. Is coursework a better way of testing those kind of skills that kids actually need?
I think it's an important way of testing those skills. It's not necessarily the only way you can do it. But when you look at the range of qualifications out there, as you look at qualifications which have a more vocational design and they're more closely targeted on particular career pathways, you see that the weighting that's given to coursework increases quite significantly. And there's plenty of qualifications out there which might be as much as 75% coursework and only a quarter of it based upon an examination.
But more broadly in the sort of the academic subjects, exams are still seen as the best?
They're seen as the most secure and reliable way of assessing skills in students. one of the changes that's coming through into A-level sciences at the moment is that decisions being made to actually separate out the practical skills from the examined results. So you'll get a grade in the future that's based purely on the exam. You'll get a separate result that actually says how you did on the practical skills element.
And I guess when we're training the scientists of the future, those are two important, equally important skills to be measured.
They are indeed. And for universities, who arguably are the main consumers of A-level results, it really does make a difference to know whether the students that you're looking at, they may have a very strong theoretical ability within the subject, but actually, is it safe to let them loose in the laboratory when they arrive?
A terrifying thought. And I've got one more question, which is a sort of a little bit of a sting in the tail, is every year we hear the exam results come out and more people are getting better and better grades and things like that. And people go, oh, they're easy now than they used to be in my day. Is that kind of really true, or are they just different?
They are indeed very different from how they were years ago. And I mean, how long have we got to talk about this? We operate a particular system within the United Kingdom where it's not strictly what's called a norm reference system. So you have a fixed proportion of students who get the grades each time. But there is an element of comparing performance between students year on year against previous exam papers. So whilst you do have a lot of statistical analysis that goes into the results, you actually have experienced examiners, human beings, sat down looking at scripts that students wrote last year, looking at the scripts that students wrote this year, and making value judgments about the relative difficulty of the exams that have been sat, and looking for performance from the students that they feel matches the level of performance that was seen for an A or a grade C, whatever it might be, in previous years.
So I think that young folk, you know, even if they don't have good knowledge of 80s and 90s pop music, it's not that their exams are a lot easier.
No, it's not.
Thank you very much. That's Stephen Diston from OCR.
This is The Naked Scientists with me, Connie Orbeck, and Kat Arney. If you'd like to get in touch, then you can by tweeting us at Naked Scientists or emailing Chris at nakedscientists.com.
Still to come, where is the research in education?
But first, Kat, I've got a couple more exam questions for
God.
You.
Oh, God.
Just okay. Two more, I promise.
Okay.
So another chemistry one. The mass number of an atom is?
Oh, that's protons plus neutrons.
Yes. Yeah. You've got your atoms down.
Yeah.
And one final one. Noble gases are in which group in the periodic table?
Oh, right. They're definitely way over the right-hand side. I know they're the furthest right because they've got no spare electrons for doing any reactions with. I want to... Then the number is like... There's eight columns, so presumably they must be eight, I think.
Actually, they're group zero.
Oh.
And
okay. maybe it's changed since...
Well, luckily we have an exam maker and a science teacher in the studio. So maybe, Stephen, you can explain what's happened there.
Group eight is probably showing your age slightly because it is the eighth group as you work your way across the periodic table. But it's known as group zero because, as you've correctly said, there are no free electrons in the outer shells for the noble gases.
So, I mean, I've got the principle right.
We'd have given you benefit of the doubt if you'd put that on your exam paper.
That's like a trick question.
Yeah, I think it's a trick question.
Well, there would have been a periodic table on the back of the exam paper, so if you'd taken a moment to turn it over and look...
I memorised mine.